Matthew chapter 13, it's a passage you all know. It's a passage you have probably taught in Sunday school. The parable of the soils. Some people call it the parable of the sower, but it's really about the soils. So, let's take a look. We're actually not going to read the whole thing. We're actually just going to start in verse 18. The explanation that Jesus gives to the disciples. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. The seed that falls on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. Isn't that interesting that that's included in the passage? The person wasn't, it's not that they weren't paying attention, they heard, but they didn't understand. There's something about, well, whatever was happening that prevented them from really grasping the truth that day. I used to teach a class at one of the local Christian universities, Cairn University. I taught a class called Children's Ministry and Leadership, and this is one of the classes that I would teach while I was there. We look at this passage, and we look at children's ministry, and we ask the question, how do we cultivate good soil? How do we cultivate good soil in the people who are coming in front of us that will receive the word of God, understand it, and allow it to bear fruit in our lives? This is a good question, right? When you serve kids in children's ministry, realize that you are not just serving kids. Children's ministry is a ministry to parents. When a child is dropped off in your Sunday school classroom and the parent goes into the adult service, you have ministered to them because here at Calvary, they don't have to keep turning to their five-year-old who's squirming next to them the whole time. They can pay attention to the word. They can receive the word. You're ministering to that child's siblings. You're ministering to other people from the church. Your ministry goes beyond just the person who's in the room. So, in some ways, you can help to prepare good soil in the hearts of the kids, but you can also help to prepare good soil in the hearts of the parents. I want to take a look at that here a little bit. If you serve in the nursery with babies, you might be the first person that someone meets when they come to your church. They walk in, they've got their 8-month-old, 12-month-old, and they go to the nursery, and you might be the first person they meet. You might be the first person they talk to. What's the impression that they get? What's the face look like when they walk in? We have a number of people at our church, it's a real privilege, that have come out of what is in reality a cult out of North Philadelphia. The kind of church where you're not allowed to go to the doctor. If you go to the doctor, you don't have enough faith. If you are sick, you pray. Crazy stories. There was a gentleman who had lost his hand, and the pastor was around at his house, and his wife was serving the meal, and he had lost his right hand, so she put his knife and his fork on the left side of the plate, and the pastor said, "Well, you don't have enough faith." She said, "What?" He said, "Well, if you served the knife on his right hand, maybe the Lord would heal him." Like that kind of church, right? Very legalistic, but also, you know, genuinely not teaching the word. A real genuine cult. And people have been coming out of that cult and coming to Calvary. It's almost like, you know, when you're in a neighborhood and slowly the neighborhood becomes the Korean neighborhood and all the Koreans move in. That's what children's ministry has become here at Calvary. All these folks who have come out of these broken churches and they've come in and they've found a place, a home, because they came in and someone smiled at them and they recognized, oh, you used to go to that church and now you're here and you're serving and you're happy and I'm broken and sad because of what's been going on and I've got a place and I feel at home and I've got an interaction here that's really positive and good. And it sets them up to walk in and sit in the sanctuary and go, I'm ready to hear the word today. Can we create rocky, hard soil? Can we do something in our rooms that might inhibit someone from understanding the word of God that's taught? Think about a parent. They come in, they drop off their kids. I'm sorry this isn't that big. I'll read through all of the words. You drop off your child. How many of you guys have got kids, grandkids? Good portion of you guys. You take your child and you drop them off at the Sunday school and the person there is flustered. They're looking around. Oh, I'll be with you in a minute. And they're kind of a little bit out of control and they're looking for something. They don't know where it is. And then they come over. Oh, what's your name? And you have this sort of sense in the back of your mind. Oh, man, what is going on in this classroom today? You go and you sit in service. And is your mind fully on the word of God that's being taught? Or is there a part of you that's the whole time thinking, what's going on with my kid right now? You walk into a classroom and it's just dirty. Just not well maintained. It's just not cared for. Maybe you had a really frustrating experience dropping your kid off. Maybe you did your best and you got to church late. You were really trying to get to church on time. And you got to church late and you get there and there's a long line of people waiting to get in and there's an overwhelmed volunteer who's, you know, trying to use some kind of check-in system and they don't know how it works and everyone's in line and you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I really wanted to get to worship and then you finally get the kids dropped off and you walk in and you're just frustrated because of the experience you had dropping your kids off. Maybe there was something in the room, something that you just thought, are my kids actually safe back there? My wife's family lives in Indiana, and we went out, and while we were out there, we visited a little church. It wasn't a Calvary, so I can talk about it. We realized very quickly that our kids might be the only ones who were there that Sunday. So we went down, and they had a computer to check your kids in, and we went over, and there was no one in the room. There's no one around. And eventually someone kind of came down and was like, oh, I'll take them. Like, that didn't fill me with confidence. And I was like, are we supposed to check in? Is there some kind of... He's like, yeah, there's a computer, but I don't know how to use that. Okay. Who are you? Do you have background clearances? Does the FBI know anything about you? What if we have a confrontation with a volunteer before we go into church? What if there was something that happened when we're dropping our kids off and there was some friction? Anything that might cause a parent to be distracted during service so that they cannot hear or understand the word of God. I put it to you that causes just a little bit harder soil. Now, can the Lord overcome that? Absolutely. I'm not saying that we are responsible for the Lord and His Word. His Word never returns void. We believe all those things about Scripture. But is there something we can do to just help out a little bit? Is there something we can do that maybe is making things more difficult? I put it to you that yes, we can. I'm going to give you a couple of I'm going to call them case studies. They are some real things that happened during my time in children's ministry here. And I have taken them, and if maybe they were a 3, I've turned them up to 11. Okay, so I'm giving you like the worst case scenario, so they're maybe not fully true or accurate, but I'd like your thoughts, okay? To finish out, to go through the other soils first though. Creating trouble, persecution. So the second soil is one that having received the word, there is some kind of trouble that comes along afterward and chokes the word out. Well, what about at the end of service? Okay, they've sat through service and it was great and there was a really good word from the Lord. And now we come back to the Sunday school room, and is there something that we can undo that word and cause our minds to be put on other things instead? All right, maybe we have a really frustrating pickup experience. We have the opposite experience. Maybe we're ready to go and it's already 15 minutes after church is finished and the Spirit is moving in the Sunday school class, so we just got to keep going a little bit longer, parents. And you're like, no, we got to go. And maybe long lines. Sometimes there's not too much we can do about that, but maybe there's a confrontation with a volunteer after service. Maybe you pick up your child and they've got a big bruise or a big egg on their forehead. And it's like, all right, well, I'm not thinking about, you know, John chapter 13. I'm thinking about what happened to my child in Sunday school. Do I need to take him to the emergency room? Or, you know, what's that thing that might come along that might cause that undue trouble that just takes my eyes off the Word of God? All right, case study. What would you do? Fifth grade volunteer on Sunday tells the students that Santa Claus is not real. Child still believed in Santa. Parent is upset. All right, they've had a great Sunday. John chapter 13, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Got back to the Sunday school classroom. Little Billy walks out. He's not really little Billy anymore. He's in fifth grade. Billy Senior, walks out and he's like, Mom, the Sunday school teacher said that Santa Claus isn't real, and he was like making fun of people who believed in Santa Claus. Now you're the children's ministry director of your church and you're walking down the hallway and someone walks up to you and goes, "Are you Miller?" Oh, what did they do? All right. What do you do? How do you solve this problem? How do we engage with this? What are your thoughts?
After I shoot the volunteer to me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that's left for you is literally to apologize to your parents. Because obviously, if the kid believes in it, I teach the people who are, you know, when we're doing puppets, if they say something like that, you say to them, "Oh, well, you know, did you know Jesus is God?" And like, you know, waylay them into something else and don't say that. But to the parent, just say, "You know, I'm very sorry. We're here, you know, to teach the Word of God, mm-hmm. and to love on the kids."
Yeah.
And it would be difficult for me to grab a word. It was an unfortunate situation, and I'm very sorry that it occurred. And I'll certainly talk to the people and let them know we're not the parents.
Sure, absolutely.
We don't conflict.
Marianne?
I remember sometimes through the years that I've been here that subject came up with this and that. It's not my place to tell somebody, to tell a child that. Talk to your mommy and daddy. I'm talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
That's where I would go. And that's how I go.
Yep. So I think there's two things in this little situation. This is a real situation. Happened to me on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
All right. I think there's two things. I think first, fifth grade is very old to still be believing in Santa Claus. And so, you know, in defense of the Sunday school teacher, you do kind of assume at that point kids have outgrown Santa. Now, what did I say to the Sunday school teacher? We're here to talk about Jesus. We're not here to talk about Santa. We're not here to talk about the Easter Bunny. We're here to promote Christ. And this fifth grade student, he left that room and did not think of a single thing that was said beyond that study. That parent is also thinking about something beyond that study. So to the volunteer, I said, "Hey, look, you great volunteer, good man, love him. Listen, we're here to promote Jesus, and we're not here to talk about those other things.
Yeah, the issue I would have with the teacher is that they make fun of someone that believes in Santa Claus. I don't know if I'd have, I mean, it's not ideal that they would break it to the student that Santa Claus isn't real. But like you said, at that age, I would have a discussion with the parent on a side note. But for the volunteer, the fact that they are making fun of a kid, I think that would be my issue with the volunteer.
Yeah.
More so than with them telling that telling the kid that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Sure.
But I mean, yes, Jesus is the focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I pulled the parent aside and I said, hey, I am really, really sorry. He shouldn't be talking about Santa Claus. That's not our place. But also, you need to talk to your child. It's time for you to start telling the truth. It's time for you to start being honest with him about this whole situation here, because he's going to have kids start making fun of him pretty soon. And you need to protect him as well. So, here's an example. We left church and something happened, and now I don't remember anything else that was taught about the word that day. Maybe I'd really gleaned something, but now this is what I remember, this is what I think about. Okay? What would you do? Parent goes to pick up children. Pick up. Volunteer says, oh, you're here to pick up the bad kid. Come on, you know what's happened to your church? You know someone did that at your church. You know this is not just Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia. Here you go, I'm uncovering all our bad stories. No, again, I've taken, things and turned them up, right? This wasn't exactly the wording, but it's kind of unfortunate, isn't it? You're the parent, you had a great start, and I was talking with my friends afterwards, and we were praising the Lord, and worship was great. And what do you mean my kid's the bad kid? Right? Parents upset? Yeah.
Just say that it's more that it's not a bad kid. It's bad actions. Bad choices were made.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus loves everybody.
Yeah.
So many stories are about him with the prostitutes and tax collectors. They were the bad people of their age. And so it's not what we want them to be.
Yeah. There's something behind this though, right? Like this volunteer needs to address something because something went on. Otherwise this isn't said.
Sandwich.
Good,
bad,
yeah.
Or good, naughty, good.
Yeah. Hey, I'm so glad Billy was here with us today. You know, he was actually, during worship, he was really singing. Can I talk to you about one thing, though? There is a matter of speaking truth in love, right? And finding that way of, we talked about it in the session earlier this morning, of seeing the humanity behind a person and speaking to the reality of that humanity. Look, the reality is, we're all bad kids. That's what the Bible teaches. There's no one righteous. Not even one. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. Right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet, when we've had a difficult day with a student, and we have difficult days with students, and we want to talk about those things because the following week we don't want to have the same difficult day, right? We want the parent to be on side. This is making a parent an adversary. And we want to try and be an ally. Hey, when you're at home with Billy, what are the things that you do that help to redirect him? When Billy is just, hey, Billy's got a lot of energy. What are some things that I could think about saying to him or doing? Or is there something that you do at home to kind of, pull him in line a little bit? Billy was struggling a little bit today. Listen, we had to, use the writing his name on the board. Had to write his name on the board a couple of times. Would you mind talking to him about that for me? We'd really appreciate it. There's a way that you can approach that conflict in a way that honors the parent and also doesn't detract from everything else that happened at church that day. Yeah? Agreed? Any other thoughts? Something's got to happen with Billy.
I think also being on the end of, like, my kid's that kid. Lots of energy. we talked about that.
Yeah.
I think coming from it, like when I'm speaking to someone or if I'm on the receiving end of it, it's like, let me, help me help you help them. Like,
yeah.
How do you help them at home? How can I help them here so that they can be attentive to the word, or so that they can worship alongside their peers? Or instead of like, what do I need to do to get them to do what I want them to do?
Mm-hmm.
How can I help them do what God wants them to do here with their body?
Yeah. Now look, if it's a serious issue, let's say we've had someone who's biting someone, right? My kid has been the one who's been bitten, right? And in a 3-year-old classroom, she came out with big old teeth marks in her arm. You know, it happens, right? It happens. Let's say it's a more serious issue. I would encourage you, don't put that on the volunteers. Have whoever's in charge step into that. And maybe it's the same person. Maybe the person who's in charge of Sunday school is the same person as the one in the room. But if it's, look, this person's a nurse and they've worked 4 12-hour shifts, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they've come in Sunday and they're just doing their best to be faithful and serve the kids, let's not put that on their plate as well. Let's actually have them ask whoever maybe is in charge for some support and some help in that. And maybe, and this is one of the things I would tell the Sunday school volunteers, have me come and stand at the door during pickup. And I'll pull them aside and I'll engage and talk with them about that so that your frustration doesn't come out and is shown then in front of everybody.
Also, keeping it from, depending on severity, addressing it before it gets to an escalated situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're not finding out after everything's been wrapped up.
Sure.
Bringing them into the middle of the situation.
It's hard, right? Because you want the parent to get the whole word of God. You want them to be in the sanctuary the whole time. You don't want to take them out. Oh, it's the worst feeling, right? Sending that text message out or putting that number in, you know, and so the parent gets called out of Bible study. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that because I want them to receive. And so sometimes we push a little more than we probably should have, and maybe that causes our frustration to get a little more than we should have allowed it to be. And actually, maybe we should have maybe taken some steps a little earlier. Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. All right. Similar vein. You need to do a better job disciplining your child. These are things that people say. These are things that happen. What about this one? I think your child's autistic. You definitely need to get him tested. They're different than the other kids. Now, again, I've turned them all up, right? I've turned up all these. These aren't, you know, the wordings that people at our church have used when people come in. But they're not that far away. Yes.
So she kept running this child, and you know, we learned to deal with him, and we did have an alternate class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a very hard situation. I'm not going to tell, you know, your child, but in that culture of what they were, it was looked down upon. So it's like, they did not have acceptance.
Yeah.
So it was like, but I wasn't going to be able to say, you know, so we worked with him, but the mother would come to class.
You said 3-year-old?
Yes.
3 and 4-year-olds. That's where most of the diagnoses are sort of made. Yeah.
We had a child this past CVS, and he's about 9 years old, tried to escape, and it took 3 of us to like bring him back into the building to find out. The sister told us he had autism, but we were doing everything in our power to understand why this child just didn't want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And but then it actually really just changed everything when the sister said, well, he has autism, and then we could start using that knowledge. So I think, you know, having parents fill out sheets and things like that, and maybe having the volunteers know the children a little more, you know, them able to look at their sheets and see if there's any special needs.
Absolutely.
But don't you think when, like, it's not our job to diagnose, obviously.
Absolutely not.
I mean, just that even should be mentioned.
Yep.
But if you have a kid that's having issues and you can tell that, you know, there's a maybe a diagnosis involved or whatever, don't you think that's a time that you would go to leadership and have them talk to the parent,
mm-hmm.
and maybe graciously say, you know, your child is learning. We're so thankful that little Teddy Crewell is here, but as they're growing, maybe we can have someone sit with them and help them and you know, try to put them one on one or make a without telling them that there's something. In other words, let leadership come in. And
yeah. Yep.
That's,
I agree.
Real touchy.
Yeah, I agree. Again, there's good ways to approach this, right? Hey, he was struggling today. These are some of the behaviors that we saw. He was just constantly kind of calling out. Actually, at one point, he was just kind of sitting in the corner of the room. He was kind of unresponsive. And anything we should know? Anything we should know about? Do you have a difficult morning or anything we should know about? No? Okay, thank you. Talk to the children's ministry director. Talk to whoever's in charge. Maybe during the week, they can give him a call. Hey, just a couple thoughts. A couple things we saw, and we just wanted you to know we're alongside you. We're here for you. You know, we would love to come alongside if there's anything we can help out with. But, you know, hey, it was a tough day. Maybe next Sunday, would you mind? Maybe you could sit in the classroom and just, could you observe the interactions with the kids? Or, you know, there's different ways you can approach it to just sort of try and engage in that. But this is a very difficult situation, right? But also, handled just completely the wrong way, right? Again, like Sally in the front row here said, we are not, I don't know your background. I am not a specialist in autism spectrum disorder. I don't know how to diagnose it. It's not my job. It's not my place. My job is to love the kids who come into my room and their parents. All right. Third kind of soil is, Jesus said it was when material things or the cares of this world come up, it burns out the root of the seed that was growing. So maybe some things like drawing attention to earthly things, not eternal things. Maybe things like promoting political agendas, pointing out socioeconomic differences between families, prejudice of any kind. Examples. Volunteer shows up wearing a MAGA hat or a Biden-Harris button. Look, you are allowed to have whatever political opinions that you want. Right here in Philly, we are on the border. We're right on the border of Philadelphia County and Bucks County. Philadelphia is a very blue county. Bucks County is a very red county. And we're right on the border. So we get people from both of those counties coming in. Is it my job to talk about who they should and shouldn't vote for? It's not my job. I'm allowed to have an opinion, and I should have those opinions, and that's important. But on Sunday morning, I'm only promoting one person, and that's Jesus. And my citizenship is from heaven, right? And again, so if I've got someone who comes in and they are wearing a Biden-Harris button or a MAGA hat, okay, well, what were they talking about in Sunday school this morning? Did they actually study the Bible, or was it a big rant about this particular issue, that particular issue, these things that are going on in the world? All right. Now, I've never had anything like this, by the way. These are just some examples I came up with. Volunteer tells students that if their parents vote Democrat, they aren't real Christians. Or if they vote Republican, they're white supremacists, right? Take it to the extreme. What about you have a volunteer who's supposed to be teaching Luke chapter 3 and they just get on a big rant about the COVID vaccine? Or you can tell when I wrote this, right? You can tell I haven't updated it. But hey, man, that was a lot of heavy opinions, right? In both directions, a lot of heavy opinions. Easy to get on, you know, a topic that is on our mind instead of standing on the word and letting that be the thing? Okay, good question. I'm teaching 8th grade Bible here in the school. It's right in the lead up to the election. The debate was the night before. Kids all come in. One of the boys sits down. Trump lost the debate. Remember we had that real bad debate, right? And all the kids suddenly, ooh, ooh, right? You got all these different, it's like, right? It's all rumbling. It's like, oh man, I don't want to talk about this. I didn't even want to watch the debate. I mean, come on, all right? Now we got to talk about this. All right, but now it's floating. Now it's sitting out there in front of everyone, right? All right, do we just ignore it? Do we address it? In general, I would say direct back to the scriptures. Direct back to the scriptures. You know what? That's a really big conversation that's happening in the world right now. Yeah, there's a lot of people talking about that. And you know, there's a lot of people who have different opinions about it. And at the moment, I think we should just focus on what Jesus is trying to say to us today. You know? I would just try and redirect back to the scriptures. Kids will bring it up, right? Kids will bring it. Kids in junior high wanted to talk a lot about Charlie Kirk. It was a big thing. It's in the air. And there was some very inappropriate sixth grade boy things being said about all kinds of different people. You know, the more information that came out about the shooter, it's like, okay, it's a lot of things being said. It's like, all right, guys, hey, tragic things happen. Now, what did Jesus say when tragic things happen? He said, when you hear about wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquake, he said, lift up your eyes. Your redemption draws nigh. So yeah, when you go through difficult things and you experience difficult things in the world, man, Jesus' encouragement was, don't be afraid. Don't get upset. You know, care about those things. But he said, lift up his eyes and look at me, because that's where you're going to find encouragement. That's where you're going to find help. So that's one of the ways that's actually one of the things that I shared with the kids when that happened and they wanted to talk about Charlie Kirk. I said, this is when these things come in, Jesus says, look at me. So let's do that. Let's look at him. Obviously, Calvary Chapel Philadelphia is an incredible, multi-ethnic church. It's such a privilege that my kids sit in room with. If you don't know the sort of geographic location we're in, we are in kind of the Russian-Ukrainian hood right here. There's a huge Eastern European Central Asian community. There's probably about 150,000 Eastern European / Central European. Georgia, Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, Ukraine, Russia, all around here. If you drive up the streets, you'll see the Cyrillic writing, and that's the community we're in. If you go 15 minutes that way, you get into the big Brazilian neighborhood. So we have Brazilian families who come. We have Ukrainian family, third service here at church. We have a Russian-Ukrainian translation, where if you don't speak English, you can get headphones and they live translate into Ukrainian. We have a Spanish ministry that meets in one of the rooms back here, one of the big cafeteria up in the back, and there's a couple hundred people that come to our Spanish ministry. We have a lot of Indian families. We have Pakistani families. We have Asian families of all kinds of varieties. It's a privilege to me to come to a church with all these different kinds of people, because I grew up in tiny rural country farm town in Australia where everyone looked exactly like me. And for my kids to sit across from my daughter's three best friends, one of them's Indian, one of them's Portuguese speaking, and one of them's Irish or something, I don't know. But, you know. So it's a joy to me, right? And so now at Calvary Philly, it's hard to even imagine that something like that would happen. But obviously, we want to protect and safeguard those kind of things from coming in to our Sunday schools and into our churches. What would you do? Oh, this is a real one. During service, cockroaches start crawling out of a baby's diaper bag. This wasn't quite real. Bag is returned to family tied up in a trash bag, scowling, horrified, accusing nursery volunteer. Right? The bag did get returned, tied up in a trash bag. How do you respond? What does the family remember from church? How careful do we have to be here? This is a situation. Right? Because it's gross. Let's be real. That's not fun. That's not fun. How do we respond? What do we do?
Well, definitely you'd have to take the parent, to the side. You don't want to be amongst everybody.
Yep.
You would want to explain the situation, what happened, and because of that, you had to, tie the bag up. And then I'm just wondering how I could, graciously get her to her car, without everybody seeing this.
How do I protect this person's dignity? How do I protect this person's dignity? This is my sister in Christ. She didn't know. She wouldn't have done that deliberately. She didn't know. So, okay, what's her home situation? That's not my place to judge. This was actually... I get a little emotional. The church is never at it never looks better than when it goes into love mode. When the church goes into love mode, it is at its best. You better believe this family ended up with the nicest diaper bag you've ever seen. We went down, myself and someone else went down, went to their home, met with them, talked with them. Dad was so ashamed, so embarrassed. It's like, we keep our house so clean, but next door, they're in a duplex, and we really try. Their house is really clean, and they're doing it. They're really trying their best, and it's like we please pray, because we're looking for a place to move. We know we need a new apartment, but go into love mode. Not only can you protect that person's dignity and show them the love of Christ, but you can actually make it something that becomes a huge blessing to them. Look at how my church responded. They saw me in a place of need, and man, they stepped in and helped. The family can remember the church in two very different ways after something like that. Man, this is a church that loved me through this, right? Creating good soil. How do we create good soil? Well, might start with confident, in control, smiling volunteers. I would always encourage people. Parents, kids, no matter who they are, give them a big smile. Tell them that you're glad to see them. There's a gentleman who used to work security for the school here. The kids didn't even know his name. They just called him the God Bless You Man. Because he would stand at the doors as the kids would walk in. Every single kid, he would go, "Hey, God bless you. Good morning." Or he'd have a little nickname for him. He would call me Dr. D. Yeah, me too, not just the kids. "Dr. D, we can get started now, you're here." Like, "Yeah, man, that's right." He would come in and, "Oh, man, I feel good today," right? He just had this presence. He'd just welcome everyone, smiling face, give him a fist bump, right? Tell him he liked their shoes, the girls as they walk in. How many times he must have said he liked their shoes on a Monday morning? "Oh, I like those shoes," right? 3 minutes later, "Ooh, I like those shoes," right? He just had this, he had these little things he would say to the kids. Makes you feel like you're ready, right? You come in, I'm here at church, I'm with my family, I feel good. Even if I was just yelling at my wife in the parking lot on the way in, right? All right, someone just said something, right? The power of life and death is in the tongue. Clean, attractive, well-decorated rooms. We timeshare all of the rooms in this building. We have a K through 12 school with 1,000 kids. And so Friday afternoon, school's out. We go in, we bring our carts around, we set up for Sunday school in the different rooms. We use the different rooms for our junior high small groups. We use the different rooms for our men's ministry small group studies on Wednesday nights. We timeshare all the rooms. During the summer, I beg and plead the teachers, please don't take all the decorations down off the wall. Because you have these rooms that they've decorated for a classroom, but they're bright. There's colors, and even if it's just in Spanish, that's fine. There's something about the room that feels attractive and good. And then all the things come down off the wall, and it's just a white, blank room. It looks like a hospital. Just a little bit of work, a little bit of effort. Just gives people a little bit more confidence. Where possible, deal with issues during the week where they're sort of a little separated from the teaching of the word. Bring them up, make a phone call. Sunday is not the only day when the church is active. The church is working. We're doing things throughout the week. And we can make a phone call, 5-minute phone call. Hey, just wanted to touch base with you. How's Billy doing? I know he had a rough day on Sunday. Sometimes we want to just let the word soak before we bring up a difficult conversation or a confrontation. Can I encourage you guys? Do your best not to have difficult conversations through email and text messaging. Email is the worst form of communication, especially when it comes to some kind of confrontation. It's why online message, you know, platforms, social media is so destructive, because someone says something. No one sees their eyes. No one sees the look on their face. No one hears the tone of your voice. And they interpret it the way that they want to and then respond back. And you interpret it the way that you want to, and you didn't see their smile or their... You thought you were being quirky. And they thought you were, like, making the meanest comment you've ever said. And how would anyone possibly ever write that online, right? Don't do it online. Don't do it via email. You use email, set up an appointment. Hey, before church, can we sit down and talk together? We've got this great coffee house. Can we sit and have... I'll buy your coffee. Can we talk? You can look at my eyes and you can say, oh, he cares. I can look in your eyes and I can say, oh, she's trying. Right? It's so much better to do those things face to face. Even better than on a phone call. A phone call can be good. If I can't meet with someone face to face, obviously I'll talk on the phone. But I always try and deal with issues face to face. We have to speak truth in love. We have to speak truth. We can't not speak the truth. We got to be real. But we got to do it in love. And one of the things, I mean, going back to sort of that WWJD thing. From this morning, what would Jesus do? Try to have a how can I help attitude. A how can I help attitude, if I come from a place of I'm trying to help rather than I'm trying to express my frustration or I'm trying to just solve a problem. There's a difference between I'm trying to solve a problem and I'm trying to help you. That difference speaks volumes, right? So having a how can I help attitude. And then this is just my own little personal pet peeve. Make things as easy as possible as you can. We need kids to be safe. We need check-in and out systems that are safe. And we can't, you know, skimp on those. Like, we need kids to be looked after, and we need to have policies in place, and we need to have all those things done. But as best you can, make that process of a parent getting into church as easy as possible. And as painless as possible. Obviously, there's going to be days. We have a system that was kind of created in-house. And there are days that I love it. And there are days that I get real frustrated at it. Right? We have these tablets. A kid comes in. You punch in their name. It's a whole system with phone, with photos and all kinds of stuff. But if the Wi-Fi is just running a little slow, right? And it's, you know, then oh man, and now we're running late, and everyone's getting frustrated at that point, you know. So just simple things, some little things that maybe you can do just to benefit parents to receive the word of God, but also to benefit kids to just hear and receive and let that word take root, you know, deeply in their hearts. Any questions? This is about 5 minutes left. That's about my whole presentation. I hope it was fun. They're really not going to enjoy this on the audio. They're not going to have heard a single thing you guys said, and you guys said all the best stuff. So if you're listening to this, you should have been here. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word takes root and it grows and brings forth much fruit. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to do everything we can to protect the word of God. And Lord, to create good soil for your word to take root in and to grow up and bear much fruit in the lives of the kids, the parents, and everyone else who comes through the building on a Sunday morning. Lord, we praise you that you are in control, you are sovereign, that you give wisdom. Lord, you tell us if we lack wisdom, we should come to you, and you'll give it to us liberally without finding fault in us. And we praise you, Lord, that you don't get frustrated when we don't know what to do, that you help us. So help us as we walk through these different things and deal with these different situations. And we pray, Father, that your word, which never returns void, would be the two-edged sword that you promise that it is, and that it would separate all the way down between soul and spirit. Lord, we love you. Pray this in your name. Amen.